Under California law, the sale, distribution, manufacture, and cultivation of cannabis by a state-licensed operator is legal. However, under federal law, these activities remain illegal. Nothing discussed here today is intended to imply otherwise. Can I help you? Brought to you by Mercy Wellness every other Friday on KSRO.
Go by as quickly as a wink.
Enjoy yourself, it's later than you think.
Good afternoon and welcome to Can I Help You? This is a cannabis talk show. I am Michelle Marquis, and in studio with us today, of course, we have Joe Sullivan. He's the leading expert and product manager at Mercy Wellness. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Michelle. How are you?
I am good. You got a big weekend. You're going to Outside Lands?
Yes, definitely. Wow. Going to go listen to some music and
nice.
Walk all day.
So yeah. And Grasslands, too.
Yes, Grasslands.
That should be interesting.
Should be fun this year since you can consume now.
Exactly. And there's sales, so they're going to have sales in one area and consumption
in
another.
If I run out, they'll have
there
me covered. So we'll be good.
That's good. And also in studio with us is Joanna Cedar. Joanna is the public affairs manager at Cannacraft. Hi, it's so nice to meet you.
Thank you very much. It's nice to meet you as well, Michelle.
So tell us a little bit about Cannacraft.
Cannacraft is one of the largest manufacturers and distributors in the state of California and likely the United States. And we produce brands like Absolute Extracts, Care by Design, Loud and Clear, Hi-Fi Hops, and Satori Chocolates. And if you are at Outside Lands this weekend, you will be able to get yourself some Hi-Fi Hops, which is our partnership with Lagunitas, and it happens to be an excellent cannabis beverage.
We
hope you enjoy.
It's really nice.
It's really good. It's
it
delicious.
It is really good.
It's amazing.
Yeah, and there's actually different versions of it. So like Lagunitas just makes the regular hop water, which is sort of the base of this.
They do, and they ship their hop water to us, and then we infuse it with one of
so
two
cool.
formulations. One is a 5 and 5, which is 5 milligrams of THC and 5 of CBD, which is an excellent drink for all times. And then there is the THC version, which is 10 milligrams of THC.
It's a good alternative to the alcohol.
Exactly, because there's no alcohol in it. There's also no calories in it, which is kind of nice too.
No sugar, no calories, no carbs.
Yeah, it's refreshing.
And no hangover.
That's true, yes.
Yeah, I got to tell you, that's pretty good. So it's a fun one to try if you've never tried it. Check it out. All right, but today we want to talk about Cannacraft and sustainability in the cannabis industry as a whole, and specifically with Cannacraft. So let's talk a little bit about that. We've all heard things, and law enforcement has sort of drilled home the idea that an outdoor grow or grows in general, in an illegal sense, can be harmful for the environment. You know, they leave fertilizers, they divert water, those kinds of things. What is the story? What's the truth? How are things developing?
I think both things are true in the sense that cannabis is by far the most regulated product / crop in the history of the planet. So those businesses and operators that are operating within the legal supply chain are highly regulated. They are highly cognizant of their water usage, of their pesticide usage, because all of that is going to be monitored and checked by the regulators. When law enforcement talks about the lack of sustainability practices, oftentimes what they're doing is they're referencing guerrilla grows on public lands. And that is not the way the legal industry operates. And the legal industry cares very much about the environment, cares very, very much about the environment in which the plant is grown, and then the packaging in which the product is sold. And so those are really the two sides of cannabis sustainability, the two parts of the discussion when dealing with the legal supply chain.
Now, you mentioned packaging. I do want to talk a lot more about growing and the kinds of things that are done. But packaging is one, and that I think is maybe a little bit of a sticky subject too, because we talk about recycling and how important that is. But there's so much packaging, honestly, with cannabis.
Yeah, no, even just with the regulations alone, it's kind of created more packaging or requirements being changed on manufacturers after they've, so there's been a lot of waste in that way. Mm-hmm. I have seen a lot of different vendors and brands, though, take that conscious step towards the sustainability effort. And I could, there's a couple different companies that have, you know, 100% recyclable packaging.
Oh, great.
And so it's definitely something that I try to keep in mind when I'm looking at products is it sustainable?
Right. And we want to make sure that it's following all of the regulations, that the packaging is compliant with all of that. But are there steps that companies can take to make it more environmentally friendly?
There absolutely are. And some of this is on the state in the sense that we've gone through three regulatory packages with regard to packaging. And so what's ended up happening is there's just been a lot of waste of packaging that never even got product in it and never even got to the dispensary level. So, but there is a lot of packaging. A lot of it comes from the requirement for child resistance. Everyone's very concerned about child resistance. I think some of that concern is misplaced, but it is in statute. A child could take a bath in 17 pounds of flour. They are only going to get sticky. They're not going to get high. And so I think that we really need to educate about that a decarboxylated edible could make a child uncomfortable. Yeah. But most of the products that are sold in this supply chain are, the child will not get a hold of them and cannot get into them. For example, a vape cartridge. Mm-hmm. It's more of a choking hazard than it is a hazard with the actual cannabis.
Yeah. And by decarboxylated, you know, what she means for the listeners that are listening is that it's the THC's already been activated. So she's 100% correct. There are a lot of products that, you know, alone, besides maybe being a choking hazard, aren't going to affect somebody.
Right. A child could take some flower, a bud of marijuana, eat it, and there would be no problem, right? It would be fine.
I wouldn't
suggest it.
No. Yeah. Of course not. But it's different than having an edible where the THC is already active.
Correct.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And then also, of course, there's responsibility for the user on their end. Keep it out of children's reach. Don't put it in a place where a child's going to get into it.
Yeah. Well, and like Joanna was saying, with the regulation, the three different statutes that were put forward, you know, the manufacturers and producers jumped through a lot of those hoops, and then they said you have to have an exit bag, child-proof exit bag at the point of sale. Then they said no, you don't, and then now they're saying yes, you do again. And so it's creating these unnecessary changes for the manufacturer, which then obviously a byproduct of that is waste.
Right.
And I don't know if any of you have ever checked out a garbage can outside of a legal dispensary.
Yeah.
You will find a lot of plastic packaging waste. Mm-hmm. I think it's important to recognize that we really do as a society have data to prove that the plastics that are in the environment actually impact children far more than the cannabis ever could. Increases in childhood asthma and all sorts of emissions and petroleum negative externalities that are associated with plastics. Cannabis doesn't have that. And so I think that what we need to do over the next decade or so is review the relative risks in this regard and make some conscious choices about how we utilize our resources.
Yeah, as a retailer, I know we've taken steps as far as, you know, we want to be a place where people can come bring those items back. You know, we have a green waste and we have a waste program at the store.
Oh, good.
Not only for the flower packaging, but for cartridges, things like that. So we actually, you know, actively tell our customers, hey, if you don't, not sure how to dispose of that, right, you want to be responsible, bring it back to us, we'll take care of it. Mm-hmm. At least that way we can try to help.
One of the things that we did at Cannacraft is we actually sent our vape cartridges. We changed the technology that we used to produce them, and then we sent them out to get them child resistance certified. And we were successful, and as a result of that, we have removed about 200,000 pieces of plastic from the environment per month.
Wow.
That's awesome.
That's incredible. Very good.
That's awesome.
What about different materials? Is it possible to use things like bamboo or something like that that's environmentally friendly? Are there steps to research that?
We are researching it. We are hoping that the cost of those technologies comes down. Mm-hmm. Right now, many cannabis companies are looking at the stresses on the industry with regard to overtaxation and the desire to compete in a highly difficult regulatory environment, and are trying to reduce their packaging costs as much as they possibly can. A lot of the packaging comes from China. a lot of it is unsustainable. So one of the things that we're hoping to do is get together with other operators and see if we can pool our buying power and figure out a way to develop new technologies, have them produce locally, or at the very least in the United States, and then push those to market.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot to this conversation. There's so much to consider. I mean, you almost need like lobbyists to help you get some of these things changed.
And we have them.
Good.
Sustainability has been part of the cannabis culture. They're directly tied to each other.
Yeah.
Like Joanna was saying earlier, I've never met a farmer that wasn't more concerned with the sustainability and their water use and their land and their runoff and the ecological footprint that they were leaving. And so what's happening now is obviously big business is getting involved, larger companies, and then maybe they haven't always shared in that same ethos. And so it's trying to, you know, bridge those two together. Like, you know, we're building and we're growing so fast, but at the same time, let's not forget, you know, our planet, what we're supposed to be doing.
Exactly.
I'd like to believe that this plant, given its healing qualities in the individual and the patient, that this plant will have the ability to change those practices that destroy our environment and that poison our waterways. And I'd like to believe that as we move into this, what will eventually be a worldwide regulatory environment with regard to cannabinoids, that this is the plant that will change the practices more than the regulatory environment will change us as an industry.
Yeah. I like that. Well, this is a great conversation. Thank you so much for coming in. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks,
Joanna Cedar is the Public Affairs Manager at Cannacraft. We're going to take a quick break and be right back, and we'll talk with Cosmic View. They're coming into the studio next.
They are.
Here on Can I Help You? This is KSRO.
Under California law, the sale, distribution, manufacture, and cultivation of cannabis by a state-licensed operator is legal. However, under federal law, these activities remain illegal. Nothing discussed here today is intended to imply otherwise. The discussion today is not to be construed as medical advice. Any discussion today of the potential medical uses and benefits of cannabis or CBD are intended to encourage the listener to discuss those uses with the individual's medical professional.
Cannabis is legal in California and has become the most rigorously tested agricultural product on the planet. Can I Help You? A cannabis talk show is brought to you by Mercy Wellness, a leading local cannabis retailer. Joe Sullivan is the leading cannabis expert at Mercy Wellness.
It's taken me years to learn how to find the best products for Mercy customers. I'm dedicated to them and getting only the best I can find. Many of the products I like and that I buy for Mercy customers are created by people who had a powerful need themselves. Maybe a family member or friend had cancer or another illness, and they were compelled to help them, so they develop a product to help. I constantly ask, what do our customers want? And then I go and find the best products on the market.
Tune in to Mercy's Can I Help You? Every other Friday from noon to 12:30 on KSRO. And hear stories from the cannabis frontier.
Enjoy yourself while you're still in the pink. Years go by as quickly as a wink. Enjoy yourself, enjoy yourself.
This is George Adair with Cross Country Mortgage. If you're in the market to buy a home, this message is for you. My team and I are experts at providing hands-on assistance to getting your home financing done fast and with confidence. Folks, I've been helping people obtain the right financing for nearly two decades. This experience has helped hundreds of homeowners get through some challenging situations. Maybe you're a property investor, or how about a first-time home buyer? Divorces are very complicated, and you need my experience to understand what your mortgage options are. Inherited property or rent-to-own agreements are also my specialty. Financing a home is a huge transaction in your life. When combined with a challenging situation, you need the advice and confidence to do it right. If you're ready for a great lending experience, call 707-583-8100. That's 707-583-8100. Or visit georgeadair.com. That's georgeadair.com.
Cross Country Mortgage, NMLS ID 2039, and George Adair, NMLS ID 245370. Equal housing lender, subject to credit approval. Under California law, the sale, distribution, manufacture, and cultivation of cannabis by a state-licensed operator is legal. However, under federal law, these activities remain illegal. Nothing discussed here today is intended to imply otherwise.
Oh, enjoy.
Can I help you? Brought to you by Mercy Wellness every other Friday on KSRO.
Go by as quickly as a wink.
Enjoy yourself, it's later than you think.
Good afternoon and welcome back to Can I Help You, the Cannabis Talk Show brought to you by Mercy Wellness. Joe Sullivan is the leading expert and product manager at Mercy Wellness. And Joe, this is pretty exciting. You were telling me off air about our next guest from Cosmic View. How did you meet them?
Yes, Nicole and Christine Scobola, who are awesome mother-daughter duo. I used to evaluate product in the store pretty regularly every day. And a couple years ago, they had come in just asking some general questions about the product that they wanted to launch and what they're interested in. And after about, 30, 40 minutes of talking, and they've said, okay, we're going to go take this information and run away with it. And we'll be back. And I'm happy to say that they did come back. And they've been on the shelf now for a while, helping our customers and our patients. So I'm so happy to have you guys here today.
Thanks, Joe. We're really excited to be here.
Yeah, so I have the privilege of knowing the origin story of Cosmic View. Why don't you let our listeners know the
sure.
origin story?
So we've been around for a couple of years, and I'm Nicole. I'm actually a young cancer survivor, and my mother, Christine, was a UC Berkeley professor and scientist, and we basically, after my illness, saw a need for really clean, pure medicine that was rooted in herbalism and relied on the sourcing of really clean, organic ingredients. So we wanted to make a product line that was super effective and based in science, but also didn't have any gimmicks or weird ingredients and was completely organic and natural.
So Christine, with your background in science, how were you able to incorporate that with the previous work into Cosmic View?
Well, I feel very fortunate that I've been able to transition into the cannabis field and trying to educate people. But a little bit about my background. So at Berkeley, I worked as an environmental health scientist. So I had a background in toxicology. I had a background in nutrition and epidemiology. And I conducted studies, mainly large population studies, looking at genetic and environmental and lifestyle factors that can influence people's disease risk. Mm-hmm. And so through that work, actually, it was interesting. I actually identified the endocannabinoid system, how it was implicated in the disease process for lymphoma. So that was like early on, and it was like that was before I was even in cannabis. But then after, I also did studies looking at, I was interested in plant medicine. So I was identifying plant compounds that might influence health and maybe treat some diseases. And I identified a compound in kelp, a certain type of kelp that actually could be a potential treatment for endometriosis.
Oh, wow.
And it's also protective against cancer. And so I did a lot of studies on that. So getting into plant medicine and having all that background was easy to transition into actually developing, formulating great therapeutic products of cannabis.
That's awesome. So speaking of products, what kind of products do you guys create? How did you, I think we kind of understand how you came up with the line, but what different products do you guys actually make?
We make several tinctures. So we use high CBD mainly, although we just developed a new sleep formula that is high THC. It has some CBD. We're very cognizant of what strains that we use that go into our tinctures. We also developed topicals, so various types of, just applications just on the skin to help with maybe a skin condition or for pain. And then we also have some women's, where we developed a female product for called Cycle Soothe for cramping, for, women experiencing bad pain. Mm-hmm. And also a woman's vagina formula, actually, for vaginal health and for women that may be in menopause and need to have extra moisture. And so it's a very therapeutic high CBD product.
That's awesome. So, where are you guys located as a company? You guys are local, or are you still in the Bay Area, that area?
Yes, we're located in San Rafael, and we're really excited to be in San Rafael. We feel that we've been very, very supported by our community and by the city. And we're happy to be so close to home and and to work with local businesses
so
here.
So with and at our store, Mercy specifically, we definitely see a larger demographic of older clientele, customers, and patients. I know that some of the formulations have really hit a nerve, so to speak, with our customers. What are you finding are your most popular products right now?
Well, for pain, particularly in the elderly populations with arthritis, and you know they have specific pain conditions. So our Deep Down is a pain formula. It's CBD THC formula, and it's really, really therapeutic. Helps a lot of people, various types of pain. And that is like probably our number one big seller.
Sure.
And then our high CBD tinctures are also, you know, a lot of people come in because even with pain, you know, you want to treat the whole body. Mm-hmm. So we tell people you can treat a joint or a part of your body, but you also have to reduce inflammation throughout mm-hmm. the body. So now, it's important to treat yourself that way.
A question we get a lot of times on the sales floor, and I'll pose it here for the listeners, is with your rubs, your topicals, with your formulations, specifically the Deep Down, would someone expect to feel altered or stoned from using one of your topicals? Is it something that's not considered psychoactive, correct?
Right. Deep Down isn't psychoactive. We have our CycleSoothe formula. It is high THC. It has 200 milligrams in an ounce mm-hmm. of THC, and it has 50 milligrams of CBD. So it could be psychoactive if you applied a lot of it multiple times during the day.
Got it.
And some people, when they're in that kind of pain, they don't care about a little bit of alteration right. of
sure.
mind.
No,
you know,
no,
it helps
definitely.
With pain too.
Yeah, does the it side also, effects are minimal to none. So,
does it also depend on the application site? Like if you're using it at pulse points or things like that, does that make any difference?
I think, you know, on a thinner skin that it would mm-hmm. absorb more into the bloodstream. Okay. So yeah, it could make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's it like working as a mother-daughter combo? I'm sure that can get interesting at times. What's that like?
Well, we definitely have many moments where we want to kill each other.
Typical mother-daughter, right?
Yeah, our conflicts usually last for about 15 minutes because we have so much stuff to do as a small company that I don't think we have time to stay mad at each other. But I think we're really lucky because we have very complementary skill sets. I have learned a lot about science through my mom, but I don't have a background in science. I've really developed the brand and like the storytelling and the marketing, and she really focuses on the formulations. And mm-hmm. so it's kind of like we just have a good team.
That's great. So obviously the cannabis market, it's fast moving. It's always changing. What are you guys most excited about the cannabis market moving forward? What are you guys noticing or seeing that's exciting you?
Yeah, so I am really excited about growing consumer awareness around craft. I think it's tough to be a small company right now. There's a lot of big money coming in. I'm really excited about retailers like Mercy, who have remained really dedicated to legacy brands, supporting small farms. I'm really looking forward to consumers actually learning that there is a difference between corporate weed and, you know, products that are made in an artisanal nature with, you know, cannabis from small family farms. The other thing I'm really excited about as two women who are passionate about women's health is a little more consumer education also around the many ways that cannabis can help women with menstrual pain or even preventatively with some female cancers. We're seeing a lot of exciting anecdotal and scientific evidence coming out. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. One thing I have enjoyed too, especially in our industry, I mean, obviously I'm a male, but I get to work with a lot of really, really bright, smart women who are kind of leading the charge in our industry, which is uncommon in almost any other industry. So I call them boss ladies. I get to work with a lot of boss ladies, and I mean that as a term of endearment. It's really nice. You get a different perspective, and so it's been really cool. I really have enjoyed having you guys be at the store, and it's been awesome. So, what do you guys have cooking next? What are you guys coming up with next, product wise?
Ooh, big secret!
I want to know.
Spill the secrets.
I will say that. Something that we are really focused on at Cosmic View is making unique formulations that are pretty niche. So we have been exploring different, we're looking more at the acids, we're looking at like THCV. Do you want to contribute anything.
Yeah, yeah. So we also want...
give me the lowdown. I want to know what you guys got going.
Well, we want to make the medicine accessible to everyone.
Sure.
And not everyone wants to use a tincture. Mm-hmm. So we realize that. So, you know, we are going to be formulating some tablets or capsules.
Interesting.
And we want to make sure that it, yeah, with that, because people want to know, like, what dose do I take? And, you know, we do, you know, we have graduated droppers.
Sure.
And help people to get the right dose. But at least with pills, too, you can tell people,
yeah,
you know, take half to start or whatever, take this one time a day, or, you know, give them some recommendations that way. And people are comfortable with pills.
Right.
So.
Sure. Yeah. Well, and as far as tinctures go, too, there's like... There used to be, you know, a lot of times, especially in the medical days, there was a lot of alcohol-based tinctures, you mm-hmm. know, which could, you know, burn the tongue a little bit. You might get some really good absorption off of that, but it might be quite a little unpleasant. Then you see a lot of people using MCT oil.
Well, our base is the most premium quality Tuscan blend.
That's
olive
what I was
oil.
Getting to.
Yeah,
yeah, that's
and
what
I
was getting to.
And I'm telling you, like, our tinctures really taste good. And they're really good for you. Even if you didn't have the cannabis in there, the olive oil itself is so healthful. It protects your heart. It protects you from cancer. It also helps to absorb the cannabinoids better.
Sure.
It enhances CB1 receptor expression in the body. So we have our olive oil comes locally. Like,
yeah,
we basically get it right here from Sebastopol.
I love it.
So,
yeah, it's kind of what I was trying to tie in. I love the
yeah,
local stuff.
We're,
so.
We just, and you know, we produce our own olive oil too. And so we started off making our products with our olive oil, but we've outgrown our own olive oil production at this point.
But
it's nice to have that connection. That's great.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys coming in and sharing your story today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Nicole and Christine Scibola from Cosmic View, which you can find at Mercy Wellness. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
This is Can I Help You on KSRO.
Under California law, the sale, distribution, manufacture, and cultivation of cannabis by a state-licensed operator is legal. However, under federal law, these activities remain illegal. Nothing discussed here today is intended to imply otherwise. The discussion today is not to be construed as medical advice. Any discussion today of the potential medical uses and benefits of cannabis or CBD are intended to encourage the listener to discuss those uses with the individual's medical professional.